The argument is Rapid Test Products versus Durham School Services. Mr. Donner.
Please the court, your honors. My name is Ted Donner. I represent the appellant Rapid Test Products Incorporated. Your honor, this case is before the court from Judge Moran's decision to grant summary judgment in favor of Durham School Service based on his finding that there was no contraction.
Counsel, why is this case in federal court?
Well, your honor, originally because of Section 1981. This was there is a component.
I don't understand the Section 1981 claim. You're effectively trying to enforce a minority set-aside requirement in a contract.
That's correct, Your Honor.
But Section 1981 is not designed to enforce minority set-asides. If it has any role, it's to prohibit minority set-asides. Section 1981 says don't use race. And you've brought this suit into federal court on the premise that it says you must use race or sex or, right? I can understand how there might be a contract claim in state court, but what it's doing here in federal court is a serious mystery.
Your Honor, Section 1981 deals with the idea of racial discrimination. In this case, Durham
It prohibits racial discrimination. It does not enforce racial discrimination.
And I understand that distinction, Your Honor.
Right? People can make serious arguments about whether Section 1981 prohibits the kind of program in which your client participated. But I would be knocked off my chair. It's a very sturdy chair by a claim that Section 1981 enforces these programs, that it puts the weight of the federal government behind racial set-aside programs.
Your Honor, it's not the enforcement of the program itself. It's the acts of discrimination that a company like Durham engages in when they use somebody's race and their gender to create opportunities for themselves with the government. What they did in this case was they took an African-American woman and they used the fact that she is an African-American woman to get themselves something, and they never intended to use her in the first place. The reason they were dealing with her was because of her
that
race.
That might or might not be tortious as a matter of state law. My question, let me put it this way. Do you have any case that supports the proposition that it is a violation of Section 1981 not to honor a minority set-aside agreement or not to give the contract to one minority contractor rather than another? Because what happened in this case is that one minority contractor was swapped out for another. Do you have any case saying that violates 1981?
It has been a long time since I've looked at this issue, Your Honor, so I apologize if I can't put a name on there. And I can tell you when I first drafted the complaint that I looked very closely at that and I found that there was no authority in the area one way or the other except for cases that dealt with the idea of just using somebody. And I apologize, Your Honor, because this wasn't at all part of Judge Moran's ruling. I can't think of the authority.
Well, but are you saying that Durham discriminated against her because of her race?
Yes, Your Honor.
That I don't understand. It looks like your claim is that she did not get a preference to which she was entitled because of her race, which differs from discrimination. You don't even have a prima facie case of discrimination because your client was replaced by another minority contractor.
She was an African-American woman, Your Honor, who was replaced, and she was certified as a woman. She was replaced by an Asian man. So, I mean, she was a woman who was replaced by a man. It's not that she was replaced by somebody who just happened to be. I mean, I don't think you can just take anybody who qualifies as a minority and lump them in the same pot. Under this program in particular, there are specific requirements for African-American participation, specific requirements for gender participation.
Worse and worse, as a matter of 1981 claim.
Your Honor, I'm at a loss because this was an issue that
the reason I raise it is because I think it affects federal subject matter jurisdiction. If you don't have a non-frivolous 1981 claim, there's certainly no diversity of citizenship here. This case just doesn't belong in federal court.
If that turned out to be the case, Your Honor, I would be you know, I'd be back in state court with my contract claim. As it stands right now, I have a contract claim that I can't pursue anywhere because of Judge Moran's holding. So if the court were
because
to find that
what?
There was... I'm sorry?
Because of what?
Judge Moran's holding. He's held that there is no contract in this case, so I can't very well go back to that.
But if he was acting beyond his jurisdiction, his ruling would not have any effect in the state court. You filed a state court breach of contract suit.
And that's what I was going to say, Your Honor. If the court finds no subject matter jurisdiction, certainly I would be open to start all over again. My problem is neither side has briefed that, and I don't know whether the court would want supplemental briefs on that particular subject before entering a ruling on it. We hadn't discussed it at all in any of these briefs. I do know that we were prepared to deal with that at the district court level, but it had never come to pass. Mm-hmm. What we have, Your Honor, in this case, assuming subject matter jurisdiction is appropriate and assuming that there is a 1981 claim otherwise, what we have down below is that Judge Moran found no contract, which precluded basically the only federal court claim that was in the record, and as well as a couple of state court claims. That finding, Your Honor, we're asking be reversed because it was based on what amounted to a factual interpretation of the record in this case. Cynthia Cooper Rapid Test Product Services Incorporated sat down with Durham and agreed that they were going to participate in a program that Durham was negotiating with the Chicago Public Schools. In the course of that agreement, her end of the deal was she would take 2% of the contract value, and she would provide the billing and administrative services, the work for which she was certified by the City of Chicago, and she would do that over the course of the term of this agreement. Those were the essential terms of the contract, and those were the terms that Ms. Cooper and Durham's representative agreed upon. Durham got the better of that agreement. It got exactly what it wanted. It got to be able to turn to the Chicago Public Schools and say, here we are, we have 2% participation with Rapid Test Products.
But it couldn't give. But it couldn't give her the money for nothing. So they what they hadn't agreed on was the specific services she'd provide and how they would be priced, right? And that would be critical. Otherwise, you don't know what the deal is.
There are specific administrative services that go in touch with drug testing, Your Honor. And if you look at there was a document.
Yes, but how. Whether she earns the money set aside for her depends on not only on what services she provides, but what price they agree on for those services.
Your Honor, the pricing was not set specifically on an item-by-item basis. It was set for the total. On an item-by-item basis, it would simply be a question of accounting. You have to test a certain number of drivers. And for each one of those drivers, you have certain HIPAA requirements, certain administrative requirements that just have to be met as a matter of law. They had not worked out, and it's that testimony that they were focused on in the motion for summary judgment, the details of what was going to happen, but nor had they worked out what drivers were going to be where.
But the price is a very important detail, because the higher the price, the less she has to do in order to earn the full set-aside. The lower the price, the more she has to do. They couldn't know in advance how much she'd have to do. That's why agreeing on a price for services would be critical, wouldn't it?
The quantity would vary, Your Honor, depending on the number of buses, but the quantity would be fixed by the number of buses, and 2%...
Precisely, but you still have to have... Suppose there are very few buses.
Then 2% would be a much smaller number.
Right, exactly. What, pardon?
The agreement was that she would get 2% of the contract. 2% of 10 buses is smaller than 2% of 100 buses. Her compensation was directly tied to the percentage of work that the contract involved. 2%. It wasn't
but the amount of work would, the amount of work is not just a function of the number of buses.
But certainly it is, though, Your Honor, because the administrative work she's doing relates to the number of drivers. She's testing with Quest Diagnostic. Quest Diagnostic comes in and does the tests. She does the administrative work. Durham puts the drivers on the bus. If there's one bus, and that's all they have for the entire life of this contract, there's going to be one test that Quest is going to get paid for, you know, or more if they decide to do it over the course of time, but not many. There's going to be, you know, maybe 1 to 4 total over 4 years, and there's going to be one little set of books that will be smaller than my pad. On the other hand, Your Honor, if they had hundreds of buses, as they got in this case, the contract is worth a lot more. Just as Durham knew when it was going into the game that its number was going to vary, Cynthia Cooper and Rapid Test knew that their number would vary. But they knew that it was 2%, and they knew of a percentage of what had to be done with every bus. Her role amounted to 2% of it, and that role involved doing the administrative work associated with the drug testing program. Now, Durham says that she agreed that she was going to do drug testing, Your Honor, and what you'll find in the record is that that's just not supported anywhere. It's supported only by their own self-serving statements after CPS brought an investigation saying, hey, guys, you've given us a $5,000 chit that you said was paid to this woman for drug testing services, but she tells us that's not what we were paid for. Cynthia Cooper then gets punished for being honest about it because Durham turns around and says, well, she's lied to us. And what happened in the district court is that the opinion ends up being focused on the idea that because there was never a meeting of the minds on her role in drug testing, supposedly there was never a meeting of the minds on the agreement. But the agreement, Your Honor, had nothing to do with drug testing to begin with. It had to do with administration. I see that I'm out of time.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Donner. Ms. Boddy?
Good morning, panel. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Elizabeth Boddy, B-O-D-D-Y, and I'm representing Durham School Services as a defendant in Napoli. I've listened to Mr. Donner's argument today, and we fully briefed this matter in the court below and again here in the Court of Appeals. Having listened to all of that, Your Honor, today, there still is no evidence of mutual agreement to specific terms.
What about the jurisdictional problem? Why is this here?
It's here because the plaintiff alleged subject matter jurisdiction under the statute.
No, allegations are not enough to make a case properly in federal court. Is this case properly in federal court, and if so, why?
We didn't challenge that it was properly in federal court, Your Honor, and I think that you had made a good point, which I frankly hadn't developed in that view. But I will say that we addressed the issue of the making and enforcement of contracts when we said in this case it would be hard for the plaintiff to demonstrate discrimination in the making of a contract when the race of the company's owner was the requisite element
that
would qualify
to participate.
That was
just in favor of the plaintiff.
I agree with that, Your Honor.
But that's the problem. That leads to my question. Has any court ever held that 1981 can be used to enforce a set-aside program, to
Not
enforce a benefit
of,
being given out on the basis of race or sex?
Not so that I'm aware of, Your Honor. But the case went forward. The district court did not dismiss it for lack of jurisdiction on that ground. And the court considered the evidence on whether or not a contract existed. Rapid Test owner Cynthia Cooper admits there was no agreement. She stated in her own testimony that Rapid Test and Durham never got to the stage where there was a specific agreement about what Rapid Test would do.
Well, what about Mr. Donner's argument that it's really very cut and dried? She would get 2% of the contract price, and in exchange she would render these services, and that's all you need.
What services? What services were to be rendered?
Well, this accounting and billing and so on.
But I think that takes us to the heart of the problem. That was never ascertained. The form that Ms. Cooper filled out said billing services.
Right.
What billing services were those? Was she to prepare bills for the services that were performed by other companies that did the drug testing? Was she to perform bills for merely her own services if they were administrative? And if so, what were those administrative services? Again, Ms. Cooper testified that the parties didn't determine who would set times and dates for pre-employment testing, who would send notices to employees, how they would be selected. Nobody was going to confirm about whether the employees reported for testing. They didn't agree on any specific tasks to be performed by Rapid Test. Excuse me?
Hadn't she done this before?
You mean for another entity?
Yes.
No, not in this context, Your Honor. She had been an at-will employee of a testing laboratory that had been owned by a relative. She had never before, to my knowledge, and it's not in the record, that she ever participated as an MBE. Mm-hmm. So the nature of the services were never agreed on. The very essence of what she was supposed to do and what kind of services she was going to render was never decided.
But why doesn't the fact that Durham gave Rapid the $5,000 retainer and used it for the fingerprint services weigh in her favor in finding that a contract existed?
They may have had an agreement with respect to fingerprinting services, but that had nothing to do with Durham's contract with CPS. That was a service for which rapid test was not certified. It didn't count toward MBE compliance. And as a matter of fact, Durham's representative, Rudy Thompson, I think, was trying very hard to find some work for her after it was determined that her services could not be used in connection with the drug testing program.
That it?
Well, I could elaborate, Your Honor, but if you, I think our position is well stated in the brief. If you have any more questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you, Ms. Mm-hmm. Bonney. And Mr. Donner's time expired? Yes, your time expired. So we'll move on to the next case. Our last